Gregory Warner here to tell you about NPR's new international podcast. It's called Rough Translation. Each week, we're going to take you to a different country to hear a story that reflects back on something that we are talking about here in the United States. Maybe get a perspective shift. Travel with us. Rough Translation is on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, let's take over All Songs Considered. The way women have been taking over radio through NPR since the beginning.
Welcome to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, and I'm Robin Hilton.
Well, this is Ann Powers, and this is a takeover of All Songs Considered by the women of NPR to celebrate Turning the Tables, a project that NPR Music is unfolding in connection with Lincoln Center, centered around a particular list, the list of the 150 great albums by women. And with me today are some of my favorite people who contributed to the list. We have Andrea Swenson from Minnesota Public Radio. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, Ann.
Anastasia Tsoukas of NPR Music. She's in New York City.
Hi.
NPR Music's Saraya Mohammed and NPR's Jenny Gathright are in the mothership in D.C.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
And I'm Ann Powers. I am in Nashville, Tennessee. So I remember back in the 90s when I was a younger music journalist, every year I'd be asked to write a piece about why this was the year of women in rock, right? Or women in pop music. And it's never changed. I mean, it's crazy. It's like all this attention, but the canon remains the same. Jenny, why do you think that is?
I was thinking a lot about the question of canon when I got asked to participate in this. And one thing that makes me nervous about any project like this is who is going to be excluded, right? And I think there's always, you know, this sense that a list is kind of inherently oppressive, or it inherently reproduces like racism and sexism and all the things, you know, that are kind of institutionalized in our society and are problematic. But when I was poring over the list of nominees, you know, this list of hundreds of albums that we had sort of crowdsourced, it felt like I was, I don't know, uncovering my lineage or something. And there were all of these heroes that I didn't even know that much about, but I knew had informed the way I think of myself. And it sort of created a world where I could be who I am because of the way that they redefined femininity or expressed themselves. And so I think that even just the act of going through history and rewriting it in the way that we did was powerful, no matter how the list turned out. But then I was really happy with how the list turned out, too.
I had that feeling, too. Did others of you have that feeling of like, wow, here's someone I kind of forgot about, or now I realize how central they are, and or at least how much I can learn from them, even though I didn't listen that much to them before? Anastasia, was that part of people's listening process?
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite parts about this whole experience, and speaking very selfishly, was going and revisiting a bunch of music that I love and have either put aside over the years or haven't had an opportunity to come back to, or, you know, discovering new things too. But to sort of define the space and say, okay, like, we're going to put certain parameters on it. Like, it's going to start in 1964, that it's going to be really pop music driven, so we didn't have a lot of great jazz artists or classical artists or new music people or whatever. Just the parameter of saying, okay, we're going to leave men aside for a little while and focus on women's creations, whether or not they were songwriters or singers or otherwise had conceptualized the albums. It was really freeing to sort of just make that space.
Make space for new things and also for memories. Like, I know for me, going back to the Shangri-Las, who are on the list, and remembering when I was in high school, going to see covers bands at these weird all-ages spaces in Seattle, dressing up in thrift store outfits, you know, pedal pushers and Keds, and trying to look as kind of vintage as I could, and then getting into songs like Remember Walking in the Sand or Leader of the Pack. Like, those old songs really spoke to me. It was fun to revisit those memories, for sure.
And, you know, for memories, this list and this process drew for me a real strong connection to my mom, who's been gone now for 20 years. And so a lot of the old stuff, you know, I love and know because of her. And there's new material that I wish she could have heard, and I wished that I could have called her to ask her opinion about this list. So it just stirred up a lot of feelings for me.
Any other mom memories from people?
Yeah, I think there are just a few, some albums on this list where I listened to them and I was like, this is dancing with my mom in the kitchen, you know? Or this is waking up on Sunday morning being mad, like, why are you playing Joni Mitchell so loud and waking me up? But also, you know, that's a good thing to wake up to, too. It made me think of her a lot.
It reminded me of going to Lilith Fair with my mom, actually, and listening to, you know, music like Sheryl Crow. And I feel like a lot of those artists just got treated really poorly by critics, and their music still had this huge impact on women's lives. So it was really kind of empowering for me to listen to that music kind of with new ears.
That is so true. That is so true. And I have to say, I welcome all dissent and arguments about the list, but I'm just going to be that feminist for a minute and say, there's been a lot of mansplaining in response to this list. Have y'all noticed that? Oh, my goodness.
I think I've complained pretty publicly about it, actually.
And I feel like the Lilith Fair ladies get the worst of it still. I mean, how many times can people, you know, be like, oh, you know, that stuff is so milquetoast, or I don't understand why people love Tori Amos. What is not to understand, people?
Well, okay. And they don't have to understand it. Like, just let women like it.
Well, we're all gathered here today to talk about the top five albums from the Turning the Tables list, and then we're going to each share a particular album that we treasure that also made the list. Jenny, your memory of saying, Mom, turn Joni Mitchell down. And I assure you that's still happening today in households across America, and specifically in one household in East Nashville, when my heavy metal loving 13-year-old daughter is hearing me playing a song from our top album. So let's hear a little bit of Joni Mitchell's album Blue, which was our number one on our list. Let's hear Carrie and let's turn it way up.
The wind is in from Africa. Last night I couldn't sleep. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave here, Carrie, but it's really not my home. My fingernails are filthy, I've got beach tar on my feet, and I miss my clean white linen and my fancy French cologne. Oh, Carrie, get out your cage.
Get out your key. I just love the way that song just, I don't know, it tells this pirate story, this female adventure story, you know, like, who is this guy? Where is she? She was in Greece, you know, and she was having a crazy time with people, hanging out with wild hippies and bohemians, and she wrote this beautiful song about it. And for me, Joni Mitchell's Blue is so much about that sense of adventure, of the ups and downs of being a young woman coming into yourself. And it spoke to me so much when I was a young woman, even though, of course, it was recorded in 1971, way before my time. So I don't know, did others have a similar experience of that album?
I didn't grow up with it at all. This was new terrain for me when I got to, I guess, about high school, and I realized that all of my friends knew things that I had no idea about. Which is kind of weird when you come to it. I mean, not that I was terribly mature as a teenager, but like when you discover things that other people know by osmosis, it's kind of, that's in itself kind of a crazy adventure.
Well, there's another album, number two on our list, very close to Joni Mitchell's Blue in terms of voting. And in some ways, in my mind, these two albums share the top slot because I really think they speak to each other. And that album is The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. So let's hear a song from that.
Yeah.
with his rims and his Timbs and his women. Him and his men come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they you been, Papa Yang.
Like you got yin.
Let's stop pretend. The one to pack pissed out by the waist, man. Crissed out by the casement. Still the name of his basement. The pretty face man claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support's late. Money taking, heartbreaking. Now you wonder why women hate me. And the sneaky silent man. The punk domestic violence man. The quick to shoot the semen. Stop acting like boys and be men. How you gonna win when you ain't right with them? How you gonna win?
That's Doo-Wop, That Thing, from Lauryn Hill's 1998 album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Soraya, I know that's one that you particularly love.
Yeah, it is. I have to go back to, like, the family memory thing. This album encompasses both, like, good times and bad times. This Doo-Wop song was one of my daughter's first things she ever learned to sing when she was 2 years old, and we have a videotape of her actually naked in the bathroom singing this song. It's really adorable. But then at the same time, my brother-in-law was in a coma, and I put the song To Zion on a mixtape for him when he was in the hospital, and I'd like to think he heard that before he passed and that he actually did make it there. So it just kind of hits deep in my heart.
Wow.
That
is so powerful, Soraya. And, you know, Lauryn Hill, I loved this album so much. I mean, I love the Fugees too, but I loved this album so much. And Lauryn Hill and I are pretty exact contemporaries, and I think we were the same year in school at university before she left. And this is not musically insightful, but I always think about a few years after she left, I was driving around New York with some friends from school, and one of them had lived in the same dorm as Lauren first year and somehow had missed her career altogether. And one of the songs from this album, actually it might have been That Thing, came on the radio, and this guy sang the back, and someone said something Lauryn Hill, and his head kind of popped up. And he said, Lauryn Hill? You mean the girl from such and such dorm? And we said, yeah. And she said, she was so great. Whatever happened to her?
Oh, my gosh.
And we're all like, she's done okay, you know. she had a very fulfilling life, you know, after she left school. But yeah, that's kind of funny. But like, I think she bridged so much, and you know, any fan will tell you this, you know, in terms of what genres she sort of embraced and encompassed in her music. And I love that song To Zion too. So it's really powerful to hear you say what you did, Soraya, about your brother-in-law. That's really, really beautiful.
Yeah, To Zion was such a mind changer for me, because, you know, in thinking about how this album relates to Joni Mitchell's Blue, you know, both are statements of self-liberation from young women. And that song, To Zion, which is about her decision to keep and raise her son, when she was a very young mother, and in the song she talks about how people are telling her this is going to be bad for your career, but you know, my hope lies in this child. It was revelatory to me. It was really a powerful statement, and I do have a brief Lauryn Hill story as well. I remember when this record was about to come out, I had been on a trip somewhere, a business trip, and I came home, and my husband, before he even like said hello to me, and he also is a music critic, he's like, come into the kitchen where we had our little boombox set up, right? And he put in this cassette. I mean, he truly, no smooch, no nothing, just like, get in here. And it was this record. That's how life-changing it felt to us. And the only other record that I've ever had that experience with is also on our list. It's Lucinda Williams' Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. Same, almost the same situation with a cassette tape, put it in, like, oh my gosh. So that really shows how these songs, they are culture changers. Let's hear something from the immortal Nina Simone from I Put a Spell on You, the album that came in at number 3 on our list.
Though some may reach for the stars, others will end behind bars. What the future has in store, no one ever knows before. Yet we would all like the right to find the key to success.
that elusive ray of light that will lead to happiness. Tomorrow is my turn, no more doubts, no more fears. Tomorrow is my turn when my luck is returning. All these years I've been learning to save fingers from burning. Tomorrow is my turn, no more doubts, no more fears. Tomorrow is my turn to receive without giving. Make life worth a living, now it's my life I'm living. And my only concern for tomorrow is my turn.
That's Tomorrow Is My Turn by Nina Simone from her album I Put a Spell on You, which is number 3 on our list of 150 great albums by women. Hey, okay, so somebody's got to speak for Nina here. I love Nina Simone, but I was personally kind of surprised she got number 3 on our list. Above Aretha Franklin, for me personally, I struggled with that.
Rankings are arbitrary. I mean, you know, it's hard to feel like any ranking necessarily would be fair. And I know that's kind of a fighting words in and of itself, but
now I love Nina Simone, but she has had this amazing revival in the past few years. Young women have embraced her. She is at the forefront. Her legacy is just permeates hip hop. And that's interesting to me. I wonder if anybody's like deep into Nina who wants to say anything about her.
I love Nina Simone. I think the first thing that really got me into her was actually watching an interview with her on YouTube. And there was just something, she's just like a not of this world. She's so fierce and so direct and just unflinching. And I had never really seen like a woman act like her before, and then to see her perform, it's just this like sheer power. It's kind of amazing.
Well, another super fierce presence in popular music, who is pretty much at the top of any list I ever write, including a grocery list or whatever, is Aretha Franklin. And her album I Never Loved a Man came in at number 4 on our list. Let's hear Dr. Feelgood from that album.
I don't want nobody sitting around me and my man. I don't want nobody always sitting right there looking at me.
Aretha Franklin bringing the sensuality, the conversational insight into everyday life and love. That's what I love about Aretha. What do you love about Aretha, friends?
When I hear this song and this whole album, I just always think, this is what it sounds like to be a grown woman. This is what it sounds like. I love it so much.
I don't know if I'd say this is what it sounds like to be grown, but it sounds like to be something when Missy Elliott is on the mic. She came in at number 5 with her completely innovative, groundbreaking, genre-defining album, Super Duper Fly. And I think Missy Elliott invented a new language with songs like this one, Izzy Izzy Ah.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, take that. Yeah, 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 yeah. Easy, easy, ah, hard bitches be talking like they rah-rah. Blizzy, blizzy, blase, blase, blase. None of y'all fools ain't got shit on me. Easy, easy, ah, hard bitches be talking like they rah-rah. Blizzy, blizzy, blase, blase, blase. None of y'all fools ain't got shit on me. M-A to the G, double O. My man Mo, smooth like Joe. Timberland, where you get the dough? I'ma get my niggas, nigga.
anybody remember what it was like to first hear Missy Elliott?
I feel like I heard this long after it was released, but it still sounded like the future.
And her videos, her look, everything about her was like from the future. And it's interesting because those artists in the 90s, I mean, Bjork, who's also on our list, had a similar vibe, you know. It's almost like they're confronting a certain discontent about being in the present, being confined by the present, by creating their own futures, you know, creating, just ripping through what the present was for them. That's how I felt with Missy. And I also felt like her rapping style, why do people not talk about how, you know, today with SoundCloud rap or all these young rappers, to me they come exactly and straight from Missy Elliott, and yet she's rarely acknowledged as the progenitor of today's rap scene.
Well, and I think that's a syndrome that continues today. If you look at Rhapsody, you know, she's just as dope as Missy and probably heavily influenced by Missy, and she doesn't get the props that she deserves. So we're just going to have to do another one of these lists again next year to reinforce the importance of women in music.
Maybe every single list that NPR Music publishes should only have women on it.
I'm all for that. Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk a little more about our top five when we return from a short break. This is All Songs Considered, Turning the Tables Takeover.
President Trump plans to deport millions. So this week, Latino USA dives deep into the agency that has to fulfill his promise, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We follow someone buying his own plane ticket to get deported and hear from a city suing its own state over immigration. Find Latino USA on the NPR One app and on npr.org/podcasts.
Check out Mogul, the new series from Gimlet Media and the Loudspeakers Network. The series tells the story of hip-hop legend Chris Lighty. Chris Lighty managed stars like LL Cool J, 50 Cent, and Busta Rhymes. It's a story about the birth of hip-hop and the birth of a hip-hop legend, but it's also about the darker side of the industry and a lot of stuff that people would rather not talk about. Listen to Mogul now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen.
Turning the Tables. This is a project to reimagine the canon of American music from the perspective of women. We're celebrating this project. I'm Ann Powers, taking over All Songs Considered. Thinking about these future lists we're going to construct, I want to get a little more personal in our conversation and go beyond the top five and talk to each of you about an album that you voted for that means a lot to you. We're going to start with you, Soraya. Tell us about the album that came in at 135 on our list.
That's the B-52s self-titled album, the B-52s, which came out in 1979. And I picked this because it represents a lot of what I think a woman should be, fun and spunky, wearing her clothes and her hair in a real stylistic, vibrant way. I just couldn't help but like idolize Kate Pearson and Cindy Wilson when I was growing up, and it's 52 Girls.
So, embarrassing anecdote sharing moment. When I was in high school, that album came out, and my best friend Nora and I were total new wavers. Like, complete side ponytail, geometric t-shirt, pedal pusher, you know, new wave girls. And we used to play that song when we were getting dressed to go out at night in our crazy outfits, completely modeled on Kate and Cindy from the B-52s and sing the harmonies. So
that's, I don't think that's embarrassing at all.
I think we all can identify with that.
Well, let's move from the B-52s to a woman who also had an amazing sense of, has an amazing sense of style. She also pioneered a look that is inimitable, but mostly she pioneered a vocal approach and an approach to rap that is super important, and it came in at number 33 on our list.
My mellow latte was kicking flavors. The Ari Bossy said, yo, Latifah, we can do this. So I paused and took a thought, then my brilliance I caught, and I agree, cause I already knew this. Now you should wanna flex, cause I'm in full effects. Queen Latifah is 5-0 on this set. You've been begging and dying for somebody's rhyming to set you free. For God so loved the world he gave you me. I'm coolin', teaching those neat in schooling. And the mic, this mic in my hand, I'm pulling. So prepare your mind for my lifeline. Queen of royal badness. Latifah has the spirit, so we'll head for the water and dive into the wrath of my madness.
That's Queen Latifah, Wrath of My Madness, from her 1989 album, All Hail the Queen. And Jenny, that was your pick.
Yes, it was. This song was before I was even an idea, but it means a lot to me. It came out in 1988. She released it when she was 18 years old. It was on a single at first with Princess of the Posse, another great song. And then, yeah, her full-length debut album, All Hail the Queen, came out in 1989. And the album cover has this, just like, she's got this amazing outfit on. It's like this military-style outfit. She's got the headdress, and it's super Afrocentric. The whole project is, actually. And yeah, I just love this song, I think, because, you know, a lot of hip-hop, or at least some hip-hop, is about bragging, right? It's about talking about how great you are, and I think Queen Latifah does it in a way that just makes you feel like you could take on the whole world as a black woman, so I love this song.
And it's interesting because that bragging tradition, which runs throughout hip-hop, it runs all the way back, you know, to the beginnings of the blues, you know, and street games from the turn of the 20th century, from the, you know, the very old traditions, but it's usually associated with men, right? But when you think about it, I mean, Bessie Smith did that, right? Like, the Queen of the Blues did that too, and all the way from Bessie Smith to Latifah, you know, there's a real connection there. Speaking of women who were ahead of their time and who redefined the idea of what music could be, we're going to jump back a little bit in time for the album that came in at 84 on our list. Andrea, I want to come to you for your pick.
Yeah, this is Roberta Flack. It is her debut record, First Take, which came out back in 69. And I picked the song Tryin' Times.
Tryin' Times is what the world is talking about. You got confusion all over the land. Mother against daughter, father against son, the whole thing is getting out of hand. But folks wouldn't have to suffer if there was more love for your brother. But these are trying times.
Andrea, what about that song speaks to you? What about that album speaks to you?
I mean, that song in particular sounds like it could have been written about this year. I was really surprised to find out that actually these songs were written in the late 60s. A lot of people think of Roberta Flack coming out in the 70s. She had her breakout hit was The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face, and it was in this movie, Clint Eastwood's movie in 1972. But then when I was listening to this record, I was like, no, this is so of that, you know, moment in civil rights history, and it felt so timely. And I recommend to anyone who's curious about Roberta Flack and only knows Killing Me Softly to dig into this debut, because it feels so relevant right now.
This is an artist I'm definitely revisiting in a major way because of this project. And, you know, we had a big show at Lincoln Center to celebrate the publication of the list. And really the high point was Roberta Flack, who is actually in a wheelchair now, came on stage. Valerie Simpson, another great woman in music, you know, half of the great songwriting team, Ashford and Simpson. And she came out with Roberta. They played a song together. They actually played the Sherelle song, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, Roberta's
oh, wow.
version of it. And it was insane. It was like a visitation, you know. So, yes, absolutely. Please, everyone, revisit Roberta Flack's catalog. It's, I feel, so underrated at the moment. So hopefully we're doing something to bring her back into the limelight for new generations.
And that, so. That album, by the way, has a killer band behind it. Like, that's Ron Carter on bass. I know Bucky Pizzarelli was on as guitarist. A bunch of very, very, very notable jazz people. And it's just such a great experience hearing them all together.
I'm glad you brought that up, Anastasia, because I think that's something this list means to celebrate as well, which is women in the studio leading bands. So often women aren't given credit for their musicianship and their creative ideas in the studio. And hopefully those stories will be told as well as people peruse this list and get into it. And Anastasia, you had a really interesting pick from a totally different part of the world. Came in at 137 on our list. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, that was Ofra Haza, an Israeli singer, and her album, 50 Gates of Wisdom, Yemenite Songs, which was released, I think, in 84 in Israel, but made its way into an international release in 1987. And if you don't know her and you don't know the song name, Imnin Alu, you probably would recognize it. So maybe we should hear a little bit of music first, and people say, oh, yeah, that's it. I know that one. So Eric B. and Rakim sampled that song, Public Enemy sampled that song. It kind of became the bedrock of one of the biggest early house hits, like mainstream hits, Mars's Pump Up the Volume. It became omnipresent, it felt like almost instantly, and everybody was using it. And you, the interesting thing to me about Ofra Haza, who actually died back in 2000, she was only 41 when she died, is it was this cool, exotic thing, and you know, she has a beautiful voice, and it sounds with all of those melismas, it sounds really cool and exotic to an American listener or a British listener, but she occupied a very different place in her own culture. Her family is from Yemen. And so she grew up very, very poor in an immigrant family and in a time and place in Israel where if you weren't a Jew of Eastern European descent or German, you know, Central European descent, your culture was kind of pushed very much to the sideline. So if you were a Jew from a majority Arab country or North Africa, you were very much a second-class citizen. And her music, she took Yemenite Jewish poetry and Yemenite Jewish dialect and put it front and center and sort of claimed a place at the table for her own culture and her own identity, which was really important and powerful. And this song is actually a very, very old 16th, I think, century old piece of poetry. And it's totally religious, by the way. It's a prayer, that song. But to put that kind of music front and center culturally and then see it become identifiable worldwide was pretty huge. And she struggled herself with sort of being heard in her own culture, which is very, you know, the Yemenite culture at that time especially was very male dominated. So for her to stake a claim and become a huge pop star in Israel and recognized internationally was a big step, and sort of speaks to layers of identity.
That's so interesting, Anastasia, and it makes me want to make a crass generalization that people can argue with on the internet. Here I go.
Let it unfurl, Anne.
Well, I don't want to be essentialist ever, you know. I mean, yes, gender is a construct, etc. But going through this list, creating this list with all y'all, has made me really think about how women artists so often are speaking the unspoken. They're bringing the margins to the center. You know, just looking at this list, I'm thinking like Dolly Parton, Selena, Liz Phair, you know, all these women did this in different ways. Grace Jones, I mean, you know, Celia Cruz, they're speaking for perspectives and telling stories that were not heard before. Indigo Girls, it just goes on. The Dixie Chicks, I mean, they spoke what wasn't supposed to be spoken and were banished from country for several years before they came back. And that, to me, is the great thing about this list beyond just the simple categorization by gender, is just this incredibly rich compendium of stories told through music.
Absolutely. I don't think that's essentialist at all. I mean, I think you ran through a list of different artists from very, very different spheres and experiences and backgrounds and styles. Speaking the unspoken and kind of unghettoizing them, I think is really important. I think that's, to me, one of the great triumphs of this list has been to start those conversations. I mean, I think we've all seen various complaints and responses online, but to me, one of the best things about it is I've seen other lists come up, like OK Africa put together almost instantly a list of 150 albums by great female African artists you need to hear.
Kim Kelly did a metal list, 150 metal.
Exactly. And like even with our nominees of what was it, 500, 600 artists, there are so many genres that we barely touched on, if at all. And to have people sort of pick up the baton and run with it, I think is amazing.
And I think we have to acknowledge as well Jezebel's list of the 150 worst albums by men. Julianne Escobedo Shepherd bringing it. Kid Rock at the top of that list. But anyway.
Well, she put, let's she go put 808s and Heartbreak on that list too. Like, no one was safe.
It's true.
I felt like her list just barely scratched the surface of possible contenders.
Well, let's just bring it back to some exquisite and powerful music by women to cleanse our palate of the thought of those worst albums by men. And hey, just want to say, dudes, you've made some good records too. I acknowledge that. But one more amazing song by a woman before we finish. First, I want to thank everyone who's taken over All Songs with me today. We've got Andrea Swenson.
Thank you so much, Anne. This has been fun.
Anastasia Tsoukas.
Thanks so much. It was really a blast.
Saraya Muhammad.
Thanks, Anne. Happy to be a part of this.
And Jenny Gathright.
Thank you, Anne. I feel so honored to be in this conversation with you.
Well, I'm honored to be in this conversation with you, Jenny, and with all of you incredible women. And this list could not have happened without you. And it could not have happened without great artists like Polly, Jean, Freak, and Harvey. P.J. Harvey, one of my idols, someone I admire so much, still making amazing music, made amazing music from the beginning of her career all the way to now. But her album Rid of Me came in at number 21 on our list. And I chose this song to play because it is made by a woman about exploding gender definitions, taking us into the future. This is Man Size. And I'm Ann Powers for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.